We have been teaching last week a series on end time, on the rapture. And so today's sermon is, although it will be linked to the foundational truth series, we won't call it a foundational truth. We'll link this as part three of end time prophecies. So end time prophecy, part one will be the seven thunders. Part two will be last week on the rapture. Part three is today, and we're looking at the events or world events that are very important for us to take note in line with the seven thunders prophecy. So let's go to God in prayer. Father, we thank you for your grace and your mercy. We ask, O Father, that you continue to release the seven spirits of God in Revelation chapter 1 and right down in Revelation chapter 4. The seven spirits of God, of which, Father, are represented by the seven angels or the seven churches. We are cathedral of glory, and we represent churches of many countries that have yet to exist. But now two countries that exist. We know, Lord, that we will exist in you. And we ask, O God, that the release of the seven spirits of God, the spirit of peace, the spirit of love, and the spirit of glory, and the spirit of life, the spirit of power, the spirit of life, the spirit of wisdom, and the spirit of mercy. That you release the sevenfold spirits upon our lives, even as we look at the end time prophecies and know the times in which we live. We especially ask that the eyes of our understanding will be enlightened and open, that we may know the saints and the exceeding greatness of your power towards us who believe. We thank you, Father. Grant understanding to those who hear these words. Grant, Father, faith and perseverance and a great grace and impartation into each life, that the measure of your spirit will be imparted and be sufficient for those who hear these words. Thank you, Father, for the witness of the Spirit, that you confirm your word with signs and wonders, and the witness of angels here to the truths that are uttered. We thank you, Father, and give you all glory, praise, and worship. Once again, glorify your Son, Jesus. For all things are from him, and in him, by him, and through him. We know, Father, that all were created through him, and all life will return back to him. We thank you, Father, that Jesus is greatly glorified to the glory of you, Father, and to the glory of the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the name of Jesus Christ. We thank you, Father, in Jesus' name, and everyone say, Amen. Praise God. Now, in this teaching, since it's the third section on the end time prophecies, we want to bring you the map again of the seven churches. The end time map, and what the world will look like, although this is not exactly it. There will be portions of the earth that will be flooded at some point, and places like England won't exist anymore. It will come underwater, and places like Singapore and parts of Asia here and Southeast Asia all will be underwater. And parts of U.S. and South America all will be changed. So the world map won't look exactly as it is. And we know we are living in the end times. And the question is, how will we know and what will be the sequence of events? We've been touching on several things and we need to look at the sequence of events. For the background on this, seven thunders have not been released ever before for 2,000 years of church history. I believe it's on November 14, 2012, that the seven thunders prophecy has been released, and we have done a teaching on that. Let's look at the book of Revelation, chapter 10. The seven thunders complete the revelation of God and the end times that we are living in. In Revelation, chapter 10, and it can assure you that no other part of the body of Christ has had this until it's spreading out right now since we release it. But it is an important message that God has given through our resident prophet, Pastor David. And it's a privilege that God has revealed it to us, that we can handle it and release it to the body of Christ. In the book of Revelation, chapter 10, John was receiving the book of Revelation, and there was a part of Revelation in which in chapter 10, verse 1 onwards, I read, says, I saw, this is John the Apostle says, I saw still another mighty angel coming down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was on his head. His face was like the sun, his feet like pillars of fire. And Pastor David saw the exact same vision when he was over in Madabar. And the same thing occurred to him. And it's strange that God used two people, Apostle John and our prophet Pastor David, to receive this prophecy for us. And it says here in verse 2, he had a little book open in his hand, and he set his right foot on the sea and his left foot on the land, and cried with a loud voice as when a lion roars. When he cried out, seven thunders uttered their voices. Now, when the seven thunders uttered their voices, I was about to write, but I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, seal up the things which the seven thunders uttered, and do not write them. So from the time of the book of Revelations until November 14, 2012, the seven thunders were sealed. But there was a special occasion in which God released the seven thunders, and we have released it in the first part of this series, End Time Prophecies, together with this map. And we have uploaded it online together with this map for those of you who are going through this. Listen to that part, followed by the second series on the rapture. This is the third part to analyze the end time prophecies that are taking place. Why did God seal it up? In John's time, certain countries have not existed yet. And it will be very hard for him to describe. He will probably talk about the kings of the east, as he mentioned in the book of Revelation, and king of the north, king of the west, and it would not have been precise enough. But God has waited until these end times, and the prophecy was given to Pastor David. And it says here in verse 5, the angel whom I saw standing on the sea and on the land raised up his hand to heaven and swore by him who lives forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that are in it, the earth and the things that are in it, and the sea and the things that are in it, that there should be delay no longer. But in the days of the sounding of the seventh angel, when he is about to sound, the mystery of God will be finished as he declared to his servants the prophets. Notice, the mystery of God finally is completed as he declared it to the prophets. Now, we have a foundational truth teaching that we also go through. And so in volume 14, there is a foundational truth on the second coming of Jesus and the judgment. And so when people are follow up, next time we have a follow up series where people go through all 14 lessons. And number 14, this will be the message that they will hear. So there won't be actual foundational truth on second coming. They read that and then they'll hear this, because this will be the latest that takes place. And what are we looking at, and what can we expect in the end times? And the first event that is very important that Pastor David saw is the serpent that goes from this section called the United States, a serpent traveling along the sea. And then it reached this portion here, in this area would be Portugal and Spain. It reached this area, and as it landed in this area, the head landed somewhere towards India. The head landed somewhere towards India, and then the body remains here. And then he saw about 20 dogs. And 20 very fierce dogs that are here in the east. And the 20 dogs look like the Rottweiler, but their faces look like lions. And they attack and they ate the head of that serpent. And
Over here, Pastor David saw 10 black tigers with gray stripes. The 10 black tigers with gray stripes represents the 10 toes of Nebuchadnezzar's statue, and they represent the 10 horns, that Daniel's prophecy where the 10 horns arose. These 10 black tigers with white stripes ate the rest of the serpent's body. Ate the rest of the serpent's body. And as they ate here, while these 20 dogs, the dogs are not precise in number, about 20 dogs ate the head, so the 10 tigers ate the body of the serpent, and then these dogs won some more. So, won some more of the serpent. And these dogs travel all the way here to try to probably eat more, and then the 10 tigers and the dogs and the dogs fight, and during the fight, two of the dogs die, and some of the tigers were injured, and the dogs flee back to this section here, and the tigers, of course, they continue strong. So the first event is this serpent coming towards here, landing, and has his head broken. The head is broken from the body. That event will be represented by the complete devastation and fall of the United States and all that it influenced and its allies. That's the first major event. And remember, we are just discussing Christian prophecy. We have nothing against any place or country, and we're just discussing prophecy as has been given by our prophet, Pastor David. And so we're discussing. Some people will believe this, some won't believe this. This doesn't matter. Our job is just to deliver a prophecy, and his job is to deliver the prophecy. My job is to interpret it and to reveal this, so that it becomes easier to digest and understand. And so I divide this prophecy into several events, and possibly seven events that represent the seven thunders. The major, because these events are so great, it is like it thundered. And some people will say it thundered. And it will be like a first thunder that shakes the whole world. A thunder that reverberates throughout the whole planet Earth. And this will be an awesome thing that takes place. In a separate vision, Pastor David saw the United States and the loaf of bread shrinking. And shrinking to a very tiny size, and then it fell to the ground into little crumbs. And so that's the first major event. Does the Bible have anything to say about this major event? And analyzing the seven thunders, we have lined up and understood that in the book of Revelation, chapter 17 and chapter 18, refers to the first great modern disaster that we ever see. And in chapter 17, the title of it is The Scarlet Woman and the Scarlet Beast. So this woman is deep blood red in color, and she sits on a deep dark blood red colored beast. The description here is given in verse 1 onwards. One of the seven angels who had the seven, we are in Revelation chapter 17 verse 1. One of the seven angels who had the seven bowls came and talked with me, saying to me, "Come, and I will show you the judgment of the great harlot who sits on many waters, with whom the kings of the earth committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth were made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast, which was full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and 10 horns. The woman was arrayed in purple, scarlet, adorned with gold, precious stones and pearls, having in her hands a golden cup full of abominations and the filthiness of her fornication. And on her forehead a name was written, Mystery Babylon the Great,
the mother of harlots, of the abominations of the earth. I saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints, with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I marveled with great amazement. And this woman by itself does not represent the United States. This woman is a culmination of all of the world empires. The seven heads represent all of the empires that have once ruled and conquered Israel. They are in relation to Israel. And so in terms of that, you have more or less the Egyptian Empire, the Assyrian Empire, the Babylonian Empire, the Medo-Persian Empire, and the Greek Empire, and then you have the Roman Empire, and since then, you would have all the various empires of the modern world that have come and gone. And so it is just that the world empires that have influenced the last days was formerly England during the time of England, and Spain was an empire, Portugal was an empire in England, but England ruled and reigned the seas, followed by after that the United States. In most of our lifetime, we've seen the US after the Second World War becoming a great nation, and when we are analyzing these prophecies, bear in mind that we are extremely grateful for all the good things that each of the empire has deposited. And because of England and because of the United States, we have Christianity spread out throughout the world. Many men of God have lived and died, given their lives diligently to the preaching of the gospel. Many good missionaries, many good things have been received from all these wonderful countries. We think back of these countries with great gratefulness, with great appreciation for the peoples of this country and the forefathers that founded these countries. However, now we're analyzing the end times. We are looking at the future, and some of these things are going to take place in our lifetime. And so the culmination of all these empires and all the benefits of all the previous empires, of Egypt, of the Assyrian Empire, of the Babylonian Empire, of the Medo-Persian Empire, of the Greek Empire, and then of the Roman Empire, and then you have two more. And one of these is going to be the seven and the eight, which will be linked to the Antichrist. And so the United States has always represented all the best at one time of all that has mankind has achieved. But however, it has come to the end of its prime, and things are moving on as in this prophecy. So that will be the first great major event. Look at some of these details that talk about these major events. In John's time, he says in verse 10, he says, there are also seven kings. Five have fallen, one is, the other is yet to come. This is in John's time. That is why that we say there was a the Egyptian Empire. The Egyptian, of course, were dominating the Jews. Then the Assyrian Empire. Then you have the Babylonian Empire. And then you have the Medo-Persian Empire. You have the Greek Empire. And number six, in John's time, he was in the Roman Empire. So in his time, five empires were before him. One is, and another is yet to come. The seven has not come yet. And as far as prophecy is concerned, the seven has not come yet. And we are like in between the six and the seven. The beast will be both the seventh and the eighth, as described here. And we see here, verse 9, here is a mind which has wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which a woman sits. And these are seven kings. Five have fallen, one is, the other has not yet come. Now, in typology and in prophecy, they have a very interesting perception. One is a prophecy has a direct application, and has an allegorical application. It has a dual application. And Rome also has been known as a city of seven hills. And so although in his time it referred to all the accumulation of empires that have gone before it. You see, this woman, this scarlet woman and scarlet beast represent empires that have affected Israel. And why do the modern empires not included here? Because they have been more or less instrumental to help Israel rather than hinder Israel. Although their position might be different today. Remember that after the First World War and the Second World War, in the First World War, we realized in First and Second World War, England was especially instrumental. And these are the two great nations that we know in our modern era, which were founded at some point on Christianity. And England and United States. And England was instrumental in having the Balfour Declaration, which in 1948 resulted in the creation of the nation or the state of Israel. And it was not a perfect thing, but at least it was indirectly or directly involved in the creation of the state of Israel in 1948. United States, throughout its entire existence, has always been supportive of Israel. So they've been pro-Israel, and it's because of the U.S. support to Israel that Israel has managed to survive. And in terms of weapons, warfare, and a lot of many things. And more or less, the U.S. said, hey, if anyone touches Israel, you're at war with me. That has preserved Israel to a certain extent. We know that Israel has its own uniqueness, wisdom, and ability to fight. Now we realize that it is these two great nations that we have seen in the 20th century, England and U.S. have been supportive more of Israel than against Israel. Now their positions might have changed in our modern era, but let's not talk about that. We're talking analyzing history at this moment. And so they have not been included under empires that are against Israel. And whereas these are the six empires that have gone on, and the seven and the eight will be anti-Israel and looking for the destruction of Israel, conquer Israel. And that is a prophecy in the Bible here. And so that scarlet beast, in a sense, the tip of it, we are now almost living between the sixth and the seventh empire. The world has become democratic. In our world, between the sixth and the seventh empire, the seventh has not yet come. It will be under the beast. Between the sixth and the seventh empire, the world has changed so much. Kings have disappeared from the scene. Republics have replaced kingdoms. Republics have replaced theocracy. Communism came about in the early 20th century, and when Russia turned communist in 1917, and then followed by China and countries and all that. And under communism, there are no kings either. And under democracy, there are also no kings either, except for England, where the king's power is reduced and you have a constitutional monarchy. And even places like Malaysia and Japan, the king's power has been reduced. So in a sense, in between the 6th and the 7th empire, we do not see a nation, except for tiny little nations, we do not see a nation that is ruled by a monarchy with power of execution, power of judgment, and power in all three legislative arms of power. And so we do not see. In a sense, we are benefiting in our modern world from the fallout of the Roman Empire. And true enough, we know that the foundations of democracy were in the Greek philosophies. There has been that. The roots of it are there. And then it spread to the Roman style of government to a certain extent, and it continued. Today it spread, and the democracy is a whole system by itself. And so we are more or less, in our modern age, we have lived with what we call the remnants of the Roman Empire.
and that end up with countries. When England came, there was colonization, and the great Commonwealth was born. Which you still have the Commonwealth Games. Games, they're a result of countries that were once colonies of the Queen of England. And then you have, with the founding of the United States, a new revelation of what a mixture of clay and iron is like, a foundations of democracy, where it's strong and yet weak at the same time. And so we saw all these things come to pass. And as we come to the end of this period of history, where we are going to see that the world is not going to be ruled by a government of the people, for the people, by the people, but we're going to see nations change over. The first major change we will see will be the most representation of great pillars of democracy. Because of natural disaster or combined with various economic disasters, all combined together until the serpent is broken. The head of the serpent is broken, and then death is so great. And the Bible in chapter 17 says it's so great that the whole world was almost taken by surprise. It is called in chapter 18 the fall of Babylon the Great. And that is the serpent losing its prominence. In chapter 18 it says here, and I saw another angel coming down from heaven, having great authority, and the earth was illuminated with his glory. And he cried out mightily with a loud voice, saying, Babylon the Great is fallen. And has become a dwelling place of demons, a prison for every foul spirit, and a cage for every unclean and hated bird. For all the nations have drunk of the wine and of the wrath of her fornication. The kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth have become rich through the abundance of her luxury. If you analyze the history of the 20th century, the whole world was rich because of trade with the United States. And even China is rich because of that. China would not be rich if it had not had the trade surplus with the United States. And of course, that was the beginning. Now she exports to her own people and to all over the world, to Europe and everywhere else. But this is true even of our days and time. But apparently, the destruction is going to come suddenly. At this point, I want to quote another prophet. His name is Duduman, D-U-D-U-M-A-N. He was taken a Romanian, and he went to the United States to live. He has already died and gone to be with the Lord. And he was one of those that I recognized with great prophetic ministry. And the angel took him and brought him to Las Vegas. And he says, look. And then the angel said, Sodom and Gomorrah. And then the angel took him to New York and said, look. And he said, Sodom and Gomorrah. That was in his time. This is his prophecy. And so that confirmed that although from the planet Earth we look different, remember, things you look natural, things from God's perspective is different. And so from God's perspective, and from this prophet, Duduman, he prophesied. He prophesied a lot of the things, and some of his prophecies are confirmed even in Pastor David's prophecy. I've analyzed the prophecies of Duduman. Remarkable. And he does not try to interpret that. Now, his son is taken away. His son is not a prophet. His son is just having the gift of prophecy. And the ability to interpret the prophecies are about 50%, maybe 30%. But the prophecy stands by itself. And it's a powerful prophecy. He saw the king of Russia and China doing things, but they cannot place when those things take place. But there was a period when he was brought over to the United States, and the Lord to him prophesied, and he really had powerful prophecies. He saw visions of the destruction of the United States. He was sent to warn them. Around his time too, we have Kenneth E. Hagin, Senior. And Junior is not a prophet. Junior is just a pastor. And Kenneth E. Hagin was a prophet. Kenneth E. Hagin, in his book, I Believe in Visions, and in one of the visions where he saw, in that book he has 8 visions of Jesus. In one of the visions, he was taken up to the throne room, and then he came down, he saw a scroll. And in the scroll, he read out the scroll under the chapter, Come Up Here, I Believe in Visions by Kenneth E. Hagin. And he read out the scroll. On the scroll was, America is receiving her last call. And that time when he had the scroll, it was in the 1950s. So he did have his time. God was patient. And God did give, if you measure in time now, nearly 60 years since that prophecy. 6 decades of that prophecy. A lot of good things have happened. A lot of revival has happened. But as you know, we humans, we always like good news. We don't like bad news. Even in the difficult times, people keep looking for the positive. It's understandable. We need hope to continue. But some things are reality. These prophecies are reality. So there's no way you can fast against this prophecy. There's no way you can pray against this prophecy. These are determined events by God. And so we always like to think good things. Every place, every city in the world likes to think that the best of themselves. Understood, it's a human capacity. What will you be thinking when you were with Lord in the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah? And what will you be thinking right up to the end? Hey, this city is great for trading. Right to the end. See, we humans are that way. And in the last days, there will still be people buying and selling, drinking, making merry, marrying and giving in marriage, up to the last day when destruction falls. So understand that these prophecies are delivered irrespective of how human respond. It's just a responsibility to warn the world that these are events that will happen. So in chapter 18, it says here, as they sorrow, the world will sorrow over her. And it says, in verse 7 and 8, it gives us some clues here. Now in verse 4, it says, come out of her, my people, lest you share in her sins, lest you receive of her plagues, for her sins have reached to heaven. God has remembered her iniquities. Those who are staying in this area here in the United States, and this message for those in the United States, remember there's a refuge up here in Canada near Toronto where we're going to build an altar for the Lord. And in that refuge that God will create, there will be angels protecting God's people against both natural and spiritual forces that are against God. And only you're led by the Spirit, and you know the times and the season. Don't, after this message tomorrow, you pack up and left. Discern the times and the seasons that be faithful to where you are, and whatever, if you are living in those places and countries, that the Lord will give you a warning. Now let me give another story, and this story is taken from The Happiest People on Earth by Demo Shakarian. Demo Shakarian was the founder of the Full Gospel Businessman's Fellowship. So in the book, The Happiest People on Earth, and he's Armenian. And they all came from Armenia. And it is told in the beginning of the book how that before the great Armenian migration to the United States, Armenia, as you know, is a little tiny place in Europe, quite close to Turkey. And there was a small little boy who received a prophecy, and he drew a map and he told the people and said, this is where you must go. And he warned all the people in the village, in the Armenian village. And then the prophecy was sealed up. And then many decades passed by. The boy grew up until he was an old man. And suddenly the old man came up, who was once that boy, and says, the time of the prophecy has come. You must all go now. And so there will be voices that will tell you, those of you living in the United States, that say the time has come. And you will know it if you walk in the Lord and in the Spirit. And then that's when you pack your bags and go. And hopefully you got enough time to pack your bags. And so some of you are saying, I really could hear some thoughts. Some of you, your thoughts are saying, I'll start packing now and put it in the emergency place. Okay. And so it is important And God will raise. And so when that young boy says, who became an old man by that time, and said, the prophecy is now, a whole group of them obeyed. And they checked the map. They found the map point to the United States. So a group of Armenian, these are the forefathers of Demo Shakarian, moved to the United States and resettled themselves there. Shortly after that, you had the Great Armenian Massacre, which today was done by Turkey, and it's a controversy today to get Turkey to admit that it's occur, but hundreds of thousands of people were slaughtered, died. Armenia doesn't exist as a country anymore. It came to pass. Those who didn't obey that warning, the prophetic warning, they might say, where's the Bible verse to do that? I mean, okay, they give you certain Bible verse. Certain things the Bible will tell you, but the details, the Bible doesn't tell you where to get your haircut, where to buy your clothes, where to buy your house, which country to live in. So you've got to be led by the Spirit. Bible can point certain things, but the Bible can warn us about the season and the times that we live in. And those who stay behind, every single one died. And that's how Demo Shakarian's family grew up in the United States, and later God used him for the revival among the Full Gospel Businessmen's Fellowship. So that is an illustration of the timing. So God will tell you the timing, and God will raise men and women of God in your midst, in those countries, the United States, who will discern the timing of God and will be able to tell you and lead you. And in chapter 18, it tells us how fast will the fall of the United States be? It will come suddenly. See, in chapter 18, it says here, after it says, come out of her, my people, in verse 6 on chapter 18, render to her just as she rendered to you. Repay her double according to her works in a cup in which she has mixed double for her. In the measure that she glorified herself and lived luxuriously, in the same measure give her torment and sorrow. For she says in her heart, I sit as queen and am no widow, and will not see sorrow. Therefore, her plagues will come in one day. In one day, it says, death, mourning, famine, she will be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord who judges here. Pastor David saw the weather change in this whole area here. Vast fertile areas become dry. So farmlands becoming dry, becoming deserted. And then you have natural disasters, all this affecting until it's very, very hard to exist. It becomes tough, hard land. And in verse 9, chapter 18, the kings of the earth who committed fornication and lived luxuriously with her will weep and lament for her when they see the smoke of her burning. So notice here, it talks about a sudden occurrence. So that's why I say the first thunder. There will thunder through the earth that will affect the whole earth, will vibrate with the reverberation of the judgment that fall upon that. The great nation, and the whole earth will be affected. Whole earth will be affected. And there may be many several things that happen that slowly weaken it. Pastor David saw the bridge sinking. But then there will be one great sudden event. And it says in verse 9, the kings of the earth who committed fornication, lived luxuriously with her, will weep and lament for her when they see the smoke of her burning, standing at a distance for fear of a torment, say, alas, alas, the great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour, 1 hour, your judgment has come. So that 1 hour is interesting. It is not necessarily a physical 1 hour. It's a prophetic 1 hour. So we are not exactly sure what that 1 hour entails. But if 7 weeks equals to 7 years, you do your calculation, you will find it's measured in months. And so we have here that weeks or months that take place.
And he continued to talk about all that has taken place. And again, in verse 15 to 17 or chapter 18, the merchants of these things who become rich by her will stand at a distance for fear of a torment, weeping and wailing and saying, "Alas, alas, the great city that was clothed in fine linen, purple, scarlet, adorned with gold, precious stones and pearls. For in 1 hour such riches came to nothing. Every shipmaster, all who travel by ships, sailors, and as many as trade on the sea stood at a distance and cried out when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, 'What is like this great city?' So it will be of a great judgment. And they threw their dust on their heads, cried out, weeping, wailing, saying, 'Alas, alas, the great city in which all who had ships on the sea become rich by her wealth. For in 1 hour she is made desolate.'" So there's a desolation that takes place. That is the first thunder that will shake this whole earth. So you will recognize it. And then following that will be the second thunder. And the second thunder that will take place, look at chapter 17. It says in verse 10, "There are also seven kings. Five have fallen, one is, and the other has not yet come." So number seven has not yet come. "When he comes, he must continue a short time. The beast that was and is himself also the eight and is of the seven." Can you see that? He is the seven empire and the eight empire, and is going to perdition. "The ten horns which you saw," and that is in John's time, "are ten kings who have received no kingdom as yet, but they have received authority for 1 hour as kings with the beasts. These are of one mind, and they will give their power and authority to the beasts." And of course, in that time, there will be great persecution against the church, or the true church of God. The false church will be apostate, that will compromise. But true believers in Christ. The second thunder will be such. Remember this area of the ten toes. This area of the ten toes. So these ten toes, we have so far identified seven nations. Seven nations. We still haven't identified three other nations. We know through the prophecies given in the seven thunders, which I've already described in the first teaching on these end time prophecies, that in this series called End Time Prophecy, this part three, although part three has A and B, my first service, second service, because cannot finish it in one service. And so each one of them has a... Then we have here, we identify England, United Kingdom, Germany and France as three of those nations. And then because of the vision of the spider that he saw, there were two spiders. One of the spiders was standing in the middle somewhere here, and it was spreading all its fur or spines. And that spider we located when Pastor David analyzed it further and asked him to look carefully at his vision. It was located in Italy or Rome. So we know that will be the fourth nation. Italy plays an important role. And we know that, Greece or Athens is mentioned, where it was once weak and it is weak today economically, and will be strong one day. So that will be nation number five. And then because the serpent landed in this area of Portugal and Spain, we take it, it's more look at Spain, that will be the sixth nation that we identify. And then because there are two fallen archangels here, two fallen angels that are bound, that will be released in the end times. And one goes over to Turkey, one goes over to Saudi Arabia. So since it's there, we identify that Turkey will be one of the seven nations. So we have not identified the other three horns yet. So in our modern nation, now, John the Apostle would be impossible to identify.
If this prophecy had been given to John 2,000 years ago, all this doesn't exist. It was Asia Minor. Remember, even Paul's time, the whole area is Philippi, and then you have Macedonia, and then you have all these countries that don't exist yet. That have gone. That exist in near the John's time, but doesn't exist in our time. We have identified 7 of the 10 horns. We do not know what the other 3 yet. So we are honest with you what we know. We tell you what we don't know. We say we will let you know when the Holy Spirit reveals more. So these 10 horns are going to grow strong. And at the moment when the serpent is landed here and is broken into 2. And so probably it landed here in its relationship to the 10 horns. Now the 10 horns are mentioned here, and in chapter 17 of Revelation it says the 10 horns in verse 12 have received their kingdom, have not received their kingdom yet in the time of John the Apostle, but they receive authority for 1 hour as kings with the beast. Now notice, with the beast. So it may be that the beast who represents Antichrist is influential over the 10 horns, but not necessarily one of the 10 horns. And now, cross-reference to the book of Daniel, we put all the scripture together in a very chronological order. In the book of Daniel, chapter 7, verse 23 onwards, and he says here, thus he said, the fourth beast shall be a fourth kingdom on earth, which shall be different from all other kingdoms. Now remember that Daniel lived in the Babylonian and in the Medo-Persian Empire. So as far as Daniel is concerned, he hasn't seen the Greek Empire or the Roman Empire. So for Daniel, he is looking at prophecy from the Medo-Persian Empire. And so he's looking forward in time. The Roman Empire has yet to come. But before the Roman Empire is the Greek Empire under Alexander the Great, as he conquered, which only lasted a very short time. But after it was Alexander died, the kingdom was divided into 4 sections for a short period of time among his 4 generals. And they vied for power for a short time before the rise of the Roman Empire. So sometimes there are transition points. And those are in history, secular history. It says here the fourth kingdom, which is the Roman Empire, shall be different from all other kingdoms and shall devour the whole earth, trample it and break it in pieces. Now the Roman Empire for us is behind. And then the 10 kings is in front, although we are seeing the 10 kings rise. In verse 24, the 10 horns are 10 kings who shall arise from this kingdom. Because the Roman Empire cover a great section of territory here, part of England and all those right down to Israel, and a big vast stretch of territory. We know that. So from that Roman Empire, or countries within the Roman Empire, will rise the 10 kings. We have identified 7 of the 10 kings, but 3 has yet to be identified. And so this is where he's talking about in verse 24. The 10 horns are 10 kings who shall arise from this kingdom, and then and another shall rise after them. Remember the words, after them. He shall be different from the first one, and shall subdue 3 kings. He shall speak pompous words. Now what Apollos tells us, that will be the Antichrist. So he hasn't arisen yet. But the first thunder is the serpent being broken. The second thunder is the rise of the 10 kings. It will be very fast, and the 10 kings will be aided by the beast. Who is the beast? We will talk about it later. But these 10 toes rising out of Europe, and the kings of the east, which is China and all the rest of it, shall also rise. So what is the second thunder? Notice the sequence of events. Usually very precise, although they are measured by a vision with the animals acting it out. What exactly happened, as you see here, is remember about 20 dogs here. The 20 dogs ate the head of the serpent that falls somewhere along India here. And then the 20 dogs came here. It is not the 10 horns come here, but the 20 dogs came here to get at the body of the serpent. So what happened? Remember the word 1 hour. The 1 hour is connected to the 1 hour of destruction. See, by chronological prophetic 1 hour, the word 1 hour is the key to interpreting this transition. At that time when great Babylon, it will happen simultaneously. As the first thunder sounds and United States loses all its tremendous influence over the world, in that 1 hour where Babylon falls, is the same 1 hour when these 10 nations in this old Roman Empire will rise to great power, and simultaneously the East will rise to great power. So with the fall of the United States, 2 great powers will rise. That is the second thunder. The first great power is the 10 horns. The other great power is the other kings of the East. Why do I not call it by name? Because Pastor David also saw in the Seven Thunders civil wars here and things happening. So we are not sure whether the borders are exactly as it is. Thus, things that were inexact, we will give conglomeration kings of the East. And so here, these kings of the East will rise. Remember, there is also a great flood and border changes. And in Africa, out of all these many countries in Africa, nearly 30-odd countries, will all become only 8 countries. So you can imagine the amount of war that will take place. And remember the other prophecy of how this influence goes on, right down. And so the second thunder is the rise of 2 great powers. At the same 1 hour, the serpent goes down and is broken, rises the 10 horns, rises the kings of the East. And in the second phase of the second thunder, in the rise of these 2, in the world, there can only be one. There can only be one. You cannot have 2 Red Indian chiefs. There can only be one. And so, we saw in the prophecy of Pastor David that it is China who tries to be, China, the kings of the East, being led by China, who tries to be the number one. And it is this section here, the 20 dogs coming in this direction to Europe. So it would be, now it might not be a military war. It might be an economic war. Whatever, that is subject to interpretation. Since there's no part of the prophecy that shows military or economic, as you all know, wars can be waged in different manner. But one thing we know, when this in the second thunder, as the 10 horns rise and the kings of the East rise, shoom, in great power, there can only be one. And the 2 will wrestle, and some of the tigers were injured. So some of these countries got affected, but not wiped out. 2 of the roughly 20 dogs died. So there are some things that are disastrous. Because the 10 horns win over the kings of the East, it's already predicted for us in a prophecy that the 10 horns will beat the East. And then the 20 dogs go, wee, all the way home. Hey, wait a minute, that's a wrong story. That's the 3 little pigs. Anyway, the 20 dogs run back to this area. And the 10 horn rise. The ten horn becomes more and more powerful. You know, whenever you win, whether economically or militarily, you become powerful. Number one. So in the second thunder, ten horns become number one. There can only be one. And it sounds like some movie from somewhere. Okay. I forgot what the English movie was. And there can only be one. And so the ten horns will grow in power under this. And it will be supported by the beast. I won't tell you where the beast was, but after the third thunder, you will know. And as these ten horns rise and rise and rise and rise in greatness and power, because this is no more. And these two fight and this one win. So this becomes the dominant power. This one can play the minor key. In music, right? Subdominant, dominant. And so this becomes dominant. At some stage, towards the third thunder, the ten horns will make a mistake. What will be the mistake made in the prophecy of Pastor David? Ten horns attack Russia. Russia has been attacked many times in our world history. And the tradition is they lose first, then they win. Right? Conquer, 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 conquer. They lost Moscow, but then they fought back. Everybody cannot stand the Russian winter. And they fight back. And same way that you see the Germans conquer and they actually took over those places, Leningrad, St. Petersburg, whatever. And then at first they lose, then they won. And the three leading nations of the Ten Horns, which Pastor David saw, are England, France and Germany. These three make war with Russia. So it's still far into our future. We don't know what caused the war. We know why they war. Because they are way inside the second thunder. We haven't even seen the first thunder yet. And as they make war with Russia, Pastor David saw they conquer Moscow. Conquer. They win at first. But then Russia fights back. As they have done for two occasions in our modern history, they fought back and they won. So they came back against this and they conquer all these three countries. And these three countries are to make peace. So in the third thunder, the rise of Russia, Gog Magog actually, all the way up to Turkey, is in all this region, Gog Magog. The rise of Rush and Gog Magog prophesied in the book of Ezekiel. All the pieces of prophecy being fulfilled, coming together. The rise of Gog and Magog, third thunder. So, and during the third thunder, as Russia rises, Germany, France, UK is conquered. They make peace. Suddenly the ten horns are under the Russian Empire. Look at the book of Daniel now. We link you with the Bible. In verse 24, chapter 7. Daniel chapter 7, verse 24. The ten horns are ten kings who shall rise from this kingdom. That we see in the second thunder. Then the second part of verse 24 is the third thunder. And another shall rise. Why do we call it thunder? Because it will affect the whole world. Just as we in the 20th century had lived through the First World War and Second World War. In the World War, every country in the world was affected, indirectly or directly. And in a sense, the thunders are events that affect every nation in the world. Not necessarily militarily, but economically. And everything is affected. Trade and everything is affected. And so in the third thunder, these ten horns exist. This is the little horn, Russia, that rises up, conquers three. according to his prophecy. See, the seven thunders, when I analyze it, is very precise. It already tells you which of the ten horns will fall. In here, it doesn't. In the book of Daniel chapter 7, says in verse 24, the second part, and another shall rise after them. He shall be different from the first ones, and shall subdue three kings. That is, we know the three kings are England, Germany, and France. He shall subdue them. Actually, they provoke first. Then this bear react and subdue. And so, Russia shall rule over the former ten horns. At some point, that one we haven't identified yet. At some point, the two fallen angels, they are locked up somewhere here. When the earth rises another 3 degrees, the earth will rise beyond 3 degrees, probably 4 or 5. And it rises 3 degrees and the ice melts. Now, they are not held by ice necessarily. Otherwise, demons come, you just shoot ice. Then you win. Symbolically, the ice melts. And at the time when Pastor David's cycle and my cycle interact, which is we found out was about 2025 to 2026, the fallen angels are released. And when they are released, one goes to Turkey, one goes to Saudi Arabia. I haven't placed, I can see the seven thunders, but I still cannot see clearly which part of the release fits when. But I just give you the seven thunders yet. All I can say that is by the third thunder, most likely, they have been released. Whether at the third thunder or the second thunder. But by the third thunder, they would have been released. They would have been released. And so Russia, which for our prophetic time we will call Gog Magog, or the King of the North. The King of the North will reign. And during that third thunder period that will affect the whole planet Earth, there will be some sort, Pastor David saw some sort of meeting between Russia and China. And as he saw, Russia and China divide the world among themselves. The spoils of the world. So possibly, that's why I put under the third thunder, the two fallen angels are released, and world disasters take place. Because the two fallen angels are released, we have been given two clues. One is when over in Siberia it increases by 3 centigrades, and it is in confluence with my cycle, which is 10-year cycle of my ministry, and Pastor David's 13-year cycle of his ministry. We're given those two clues to interpret. And we have here that during the third thunder, the world changes. Great floods. And at some point, during the third thunder, could be after the conquest of England, we do not know. At some point in the third thunder, England goes underwater. Floods come all over the world. And the countries that are low-lying all go underwater. The world map changes. Countries disappear. And during the year, of course, Australia here continued to be a refuge to all the world. And during that time of all the whole world shaking with the thunder, the king of the north and the kings of the east divide the world among themselves. Who controls what? And you have this world map where the influence of Russia is over all the former Soviet unions. Kazakhstan, Afghanistan, Uzbekistan, and Georgia, and all these areas, right to Iran area, and all these down to Indonesia, and to all this area. And then China controls all the way to Japan, Korea, Vietnam, Laos, Thailand, Cambodia, Malaysia, Singapore, Philippines, all this area. Philippines was probably destroyed in something. I don't know what it was. Pastor David saw nothing left, but just a stench over there. So we know that there's expansion in the third thunders, expansion of these are empires, two empires, but one will serve the other. There can only be one. So, and the east will serve the north. He saw at that time. And remember how Pastor David saw great prosperity? He saw this whole place, the ice melt. And this whole place, and of course there are city, there are places of refuge all over the world, Mark. But this area become the most prosperous region. Because he has conquered this area now. He rules, and now this king of the north is the king of the world. And this area becomes the main prosperity that the whole earth depends on. And this becomes, all trade is now here. That's when Pastor David saw slavery. People volunteer themselves to come here. And all the world trades, and I assume Israel will be trading there. At some point, possibly, during the seven thunders, at some point during the seven thunders, the beast will be playing his hand. At some point, remember the two fallen angels, one goes to Turkey, one goes to Saudi Arabia. Here, in this area, there can only be one. As always, there can only be one. And they will play, and this area will be the region, the ten horns are under Russia, but this region here, with Israel in its neighborhood, will continue to play from Turkey onwards, south, all the way to the Middle East. This region will become the beast that represents the false prophet. The king of the north here, Gog Magog, Russia, will become the beast that represents the Antichrist. Let's look at the Bible now in the book of Revelations. In the book of Revelations, we see here the rise of the beast. Chapter 13. There are two beasts, one from the sea and one from the land. So here in chapter 13 verse 1. Now remember, basically, everything is completed in chapter 10 and 11. Then you got the reprise looking at details of what has occurred in the book of Revelation. So in chapter 13, John the Apostle says, in verse 1, I stood on the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rising up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns. Now doesn't that give you a clue? Seven heads and ten horns. It has to do with the other empire. And on his horns, ten crowns, and on his heads, a blasphemous name. Now the beast which I saw was like a leopard. Leopard is represented in Daniel's prophecy, like the Greece. His feet was like the feet of a bear, Russian Empire. His mouth like the mouth of a lion. The dragon gave him his power, his throne, and great authority. And God permitted it, of course. Verse 3, I saw one of his heads as if he had been mortally wounded, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world marveled and followed the beast. When was the beast wounded? When the ten horns wounded. Because the capital city was also destroyed and gone. So this was wounded during the second end of the second thunder. And it looks like they conquered. We are not sure how long between the conquered and the reconquest by Russia. But the beast was wounded actually by the ten horns. And then he reacts against the ten horns and knocked out three of his horns. So the beast revived. It was influential in causing the ten horns to rise. Remember, the ten horns could not rise without Russia. So it was there in the background. But somehow things play against each other. And beast tried to conquer here, wounded the beast, but the beast rise. It was the seven, because it was causing this in the background to rise, and it is now the eight which rise after its heel. And all the world marvel under the third thunder, the world marvel. Because in the third thunder, Russia rules the world. Even the kings of the east come under them and trade with them.
And verse 4, they worship the dragon who gave authority to the beast. They worship the beast, saying, who is like the beast? Who is able to make war with him?
No one. No one can.
So I guess technology and things also improve. He was given a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. And he was given authority to continue for 42 months.
At some point after the third thunder, there will be a fourth thunder. The fourth thunder will be where the beast which rules here joins together with the false prophets all together, and the mark of the beast begins to come.
So you have here, it talks about the beast and all that the beast will do. And verse 10, he who leads into captivity shall go into captivity. He who kills with a sword must be killed with a sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints.
Then verse 11, I saw another beast coming out of the earth. So here is a beast that comes out of the sea.
Here's a beast that comes out of the land, in this area here.
I saw another beast coming up out of the earth. He had two horns like a lamb and spoke like a dragon. He exercises all the authority of the first beast in his presence and causes the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. He performs great signs so that he even makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of man. And he deceives those who dwell on the earth by these signs. Now remember the two fallen angels that come here to Turkey and one to Saudi Arabia. One of them is a spirit of seduction. The other is a spirit of sorcery. With seduction and sorcery and great sorcery, they produce some signs and wonders. They produce some signs and wonders. The Bible tells us in verse 14, he deceived those who dwell on the earth by these signs which he was granted to do in the sight of the beast, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image to the beast who was wounded by the sword and live. So he tells you what the wound was caused by war. He was granted power to give breath to the image of the beast, and the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as will not worship the image of the beast to be killed. He causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or on their foreheads, so that no man may buy or sell except one who has the mark of the name of the beast and of the number of his name. Here is wisdom, let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast and is the number of a man. His name is 666. So the fourth thunder, when the world has settled between the king of the north and the king of the east, and they looks at everything settled, there's thunderous development here, where this area of Turkey, Saudi Arabia, all this Middle Eastern region, this had to become under one. Most likely dominated by Turkey. By the time that in the third thunder that Russia has conquered England and France and Germany, Athens would rise to be the dominant power also. And so a lot of these changes are taking place, but then with the rise of this, all these countries have to come under one, and that will be ruled by sorcery and seduction. And these will go in league with the king of the north. So it looks like they exist concurrently, and this, which represents the false prophet beast, gives power to this, and there will be the fourth thunder close or at the time when the mark of the beast is invented, close at the time when all this turmoil has to become one influence, and all this turmoil have to take place in under the third thunder. This is the fourth thunder. All this have to become one under the two fallen archangels that have been released by that time. Which is why I say, somewhere at the third thunder to the fourth thunder, the fallen angels, they might have been released earlier. This is, we don't have exact, but I say by that time, they would have been released. And there will be a fourth thunder because it will be a major thing. The mark of the beast won't be just a simple electronic chip which has no religious connotation. And we have identified the mark of the beast. The one on the forehead is invisible. It's just between the eyebrows. Cannot be seen. Or can only be detected by invisible electronic equipment. But the one on the mark on the hand is actually on the thumbprint. If you take your thumb and you see where the center of their thumb is, and 1 centimeter below, along the ridges of your thumb, is some sort of a mark that is necessary for buying and selling and trading. And so when you use your thumbprint, they will not just see your thumbprint, they will see some sort of code inside. Even today's modern chips are too big. It will be so tiny that it looks like just a ridge in a line among your fingerprint ridges. So some new technology will be invented. And this part is where I add to some perception that I perceive in the spirit and saw. Either it is a Jewish person living in Israel, or a Russian who become living, Russian Jew who lives in Israel, or an Israelite Jew who during the time of great prosperity became living in this area in the north, will be given the knowledge, the ability. This invention will not be like normal invention. This fourth thunder is an invention of both biotechnology or something else that we do not know of, that has to do that when it's put into the body, will make you become a part of him. It will be both some sort of spiritual thing and technological thing. And at its invention, most likely by a Jew, in fact 100% by a Jew, who will either be an Israelite or a Russian living in Israel, or Israel living in Russia, who will be a Jew. And his invention of this mark will replace money, will replace currency, will replace everything that we know of handling dollars and cents, trade and credit cards and bank accounts and everything. It will be a fourth thunder. Its invention will be so powerful that it's accompanied by Satan finding a shortcut to take over people. So that whoever received this mark will be blocked by from the book of life. Bible tells us in the book of Revelation, and there's a warning in the Bible that tells us about this mark. It is necessary, and it says in verse 17 that no one may buy or sell except one who has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Frightening prospects at this invention. And everyone who received the mark, in chapter 15, verse 2, it says here, in chapter 15, verse 2, the beast will persecute the Jews and all Christians. It says, chapter 15, verse 2, and I saw something like a sea of glass mingled with fire. Those were the victory over the beast, over his image, over his mark. It looked like you got something to overcome with over his mark, over the number of his name. Then you shall stand and praise God. Look at chapter 14, in verse 9. Chapter 14, Revelation, in verse 9. Then a third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if anyone worships the beast and his image, receives his mark on his forehead, or on his hand. If anyone receives that, he himself shall also drink of the wine of the wrath of God, who is poured out on full strength into the cup of his indignation. He shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb of God. And the smoke of their torment ascends forever and ever. They have no rest day or night who worship the beast and his image, and whoever received the mark of his name. Wow. Look at all these words, the torment, all that has taken place. In other words, whoever received that mark, you're blotted out of the book of life. It must be something spiritual, something natural, something biotechnical that the enemy even. It's a fourth major thunder that takes place when the beast began to demonstrate in a very visual form. So by that time, you won't be surprised and people won't be talking controversy. Why we work with angels, why we see angels. That time you'll be grateful you can see and work with angels. Because the fourth thunder shakes the whole world. And this Jewish figure will rise and will be the richest, most powerful person on earth through this mark. He will dominate with wealth, with power, with influence, and he will be the one that is so powerful in the fourth thunder. At some point after the third thunder, in the fourth thunder, he will rise and become so powerful. We do not know how long that will last. And then there will be the fifth thunder, when he announces himself as the Messiah. And all Israel will hail their Messiah. That will be the fifth thunder. They will hail him as the Messiah and accept him as the Christ, the anointed one. And that will be the beginning of the 7-year sorrows. He will come in the fifth thunder, imitating Christ. And all of Israel who have become apostates will accept him as their Messiah. And at first he will come as a man of peace. And he will be accepted by them as their Savior, their Deliverer. Because you know why? Israel wants to rule the world. Again, they also, there can only be one. Look at what Israel is looking for. The restoration of the kingdom of David. When they were once a great power under David and Solomon. That's what Israel want. So suddenly here is the homeland man, a Jew of their blood. Might even be of their citizenry. And he says, he's one of ours, we are one of his. Together, we can rule the world! Again, world ruling. And Israel wants to rule the world. And who knows? Antichrist might make his headquarters and say, Israel shall be my headquarters! Wow, all the Jews will rejoice. Yay! There will be the fifth thunder. It will affect the whole world again. For all Jews all over the world will say, yes, this is it, this is it. But it's a false, this is it. Because the Antichrist will rule peacefully for 3.5 years. And then, in the middle of the 7-year tribulation, will be the sixth thunder, when the Antichrist will make the abomination of desolation that Jesus talked about,
By that time is the sixth thunder, Matthew 24. Matthew 24. And in Matthew 24, we will complete the seven thunders, and then in the second service talk about things that happen in Christianity from the other point of view, from the church side. But in chapter 24, Jesus says in verse 15, when you see the abomination of desolation, that, my friends, will be the sixth thunder. The whole world will be affected. And the true Israel has to flee to the wilderness. As a woman running to the wilderness for 1,360 days. 1,260 days. And for 42 months, the beast will rule in Israel. And in the abomination of desolation, remember, the kings of the east will still keep trying to rise. At some point, the kings of the east will try to make war with the king of the north. And there will be a great battle also. That one is found in Revelation, as you all saw. The kings of the east also came. And then at some point, everything comes against Christ. And then in Revelation, then again in Revelation chapter 19, the last and final thunder is when the seven thunders sound from heaven and Jesus comes at the end of the 7 years. And it says here in verse 11, chapter 19, and I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he who sat on him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were like flame of fire. On his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no one knew except himself. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood. His name is called the Word of God. And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on a white horse. Out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should strike the nations. And he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he has on him his robe, and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. Then I saw an army standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice. So the beast, the kings of the earth, in verse 19, all gather against our Christ. That is the seventh thunder, where spiritual and natural war takes place simultaneously. And in the book of Thessalonians, turn with me to the book of Thessalonians, it says here about our Lord Jesus Christ, when he comes. In chapter 2 of Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 8. Then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders. And Jesus, as he come in the seventh thunder, destroy all of the Antichrist and the rest of the things that take place in the book of Revelation. So you have the sequence of events, seven thunders. All seven are now in our future, but the first one is about to happen. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your understanding of these end time prophecies. What a time that we live in. We ask, O God, as we see all these things happen, we will know the times and seasons of God. We ask, O God, for clarity of understanding. We ask, O God, that the fundamental question that we ask, what must we do that we might be saved, will be the question that all ask. What must we do? What shall we do? What can we do? That we all would enter into the place to do the will of God, so that the kingdom of God will come on earth as it is in heaven. That your will be done on earth as it is on in heaven. We know, Father God, that this rule and reign of the Antichrist is only but for a moment. And you are the one who designed and permitted it for your very own wisdom and knowledge. We on earth will have to endure for a short time some suffering, persecution in the great tribulation for those who are in the great tribulation. And we ask, O God, that during the apostasy of the church prophesy in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, we may be found among the true church. Those who walk with you, those who love you, those who will not compromise, whether under persecution, under pressure, or under the mark of the beast. That we will not compromise, that we will stand true unto death. For we overcome Satan and all the false demons and fallen archangels and the Antichrist by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of our testimony, and by the fact that we do not love our own lives, for our lives are yours. We are all surrendered to you. Your will be done and not ours be established. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Praise God. Let's all rise together and let's proclaim He is Lord. He is Lord. He is Lord. He is risen from the dead, and He is Lord. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Now the Lord bless you, the Lord keep you, the Lord make His face shine upon you, the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Give you a good clap offering. God bless each one of you as usual. Amen.